Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
He would appear in the dark.
Hunting, literally hunting.
He was a killer.
World of Secrets, Season 3, The Apartheid Killer. Listen now, wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Buongiorno.
Hello and welcome to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service, which uncovers the inner workings of the world's most creative minds.
As Picasso was always saying, I was drawing as Raffaello since I was 13, but it took their whole life to paint like a kid. We are cooking like kids.
I'm Emiko Davies, and in this episode, I'm going to be walking...
So, from the market, tour downtown...
Talking...
Is sweet. Is not super acid.
Eating... That's amazing.
Oh my God.
Where has this been my whole life? And generally trying to keep up with the 3 Michelin star chef, Massimo Bottura.
That's how my brain works. Ideas are floating everywhere at 1:30 in the morning... Or like at 12 o'clock when the service starts.
Tavolo S1, due persone, due menu, marcia!
Massimo is a visionary who is known for his rule-breaking and for his restaurant, Osteria Francescana, which he runs with his wife, Lara Gilmore.
My real job? I chase after Massimo. That's what I really do. That's how I spend most of my time.
In that kitchen, he's been turning the Italian food tradition upside down, on its side, and round for nearly 30 years.
No, I'm not doing that in that way. I don't want to follow what my grandmothers told me to do.
Massimo takes inspiration from absolutely everything. Contemporary art, music, design, travel, poetry, cars... All to create dishes that he describes as edible artworks.
Art is inspiring me. Art is open doors. Walk into that door.
So we're in Modena to meet Massimo and Lara, sample his newest menu, Globale, and feel the heat of the kitchen that's known as his laboratory of ideas. We can hear that sizzle. We're also going to try and understand the immense scale of Massimo's artistic inspirations and exactly how these ideas make it onto the plate.
We have to do something with all these rose petals, something completely crazy, but that makes sense.
Grazie. I'm just sitting at a cafe near the Duomo, having my first coffee of the day before I go and meet Massimo in front of Osteria Francescana. We're not going to be going inside just yet. We're actually going to take a stroll through Modena first with Massimo and get a sense of the city that laid the foundations for his incredible culinary life and work.
Buongiorno.
We're going now to the center of town, and I want to show you the market that is there since 1920.
Fantastic.
So if you follow me, we're going to stop like to have a cappuccino in the best place, because I need some coffee in the morning to get some...
Modena is an incredibly pretty, very, very elegant city in Emilia-Romagna. This is a place known for its balsamic vinegar, parmigiano cheese. You have prosciutto and mortadella and tortellini. This is really considered Italy's gastronomic center.
You know, it's not that Modena inspired me. I am Modena, because in my vein... There's balsamic vinegar, and my muscles are made by Parmigiano Reggiano. I drank too much Lambrusco, so my brain is still up there, you know, too much bubbling.
I think in a way, Modena has perhaps always been the home of innovators. When you think of people like Enzo Ferrari, who started off making tractors and then decided one day to make one of the most beautiful cars... It makes so much sense that Massimo Bottura is also doing the same thing with food, breaking with tradition and coming up with all these new ideas.
The market is the center. When you want to know something and you travel, you want to know something deeper, you go and visit the market and you understand immediately. Hello, hi, how are you? Buongiorno.
Always busy, huh?
Buongiorno, always busy, always busy. Walking around, you can see immediately how everything is kept. The asparagus, the new zucchinis, the new fava beans, the peas.
I was coming here since I was a child, walking from my home to downtown with my mom. You distill through the time and stays with you as magic moments. As I always say, my cooking never has to be nostalgic, has to be critic. Because if you're a critic, you look at the past and you distill the best from the past and you bring into the future.
It's amazing that you have all of this literally on your doorstep.
Yeah, it's like one of the key points to explain the Italian cuisine. It's the obsession about the quality of the ingredients. And with these ingredients, you understand everything.
Yeah,
you look at these peaches. It's called pesca tabacchiera. It's compressed.
The little flat peaches.
It's flat.
I love these.
It's like, psh.
Yeah.
And but when you taste it, it's like
an explosion.
Yeah.
Massimo, do you consider yourself an artist or an artisan?
I think, in the deepness of my heart, that I am an artisan, obsessed about quality. Look at this lemon. How beautiful this lemon is. This is like a painting, you know, like a piece of art. Some of my best friends are artists. They always say, but you're more artist than us because your craziness and your way of thinking. But at the end, my food has to be good food. So I'm an artisan. And now, because it's like 10:45, so it's time for the sign Torno Subito, I'll be back soon. The Italian need to have
coffee
break. Okay, let's go. Let's walk.
Hi.
This is Luca and Deborah. And this is like the best place for cappuccino because Deborah whip the milk in such a good way that, you know, to me, this is a real cappuccino. Okay, guys, everyone, listen. This is the real cappuccino.
This is what Massimo ordered. He has a cappuccino that's not quite full to the top, and then zabaione, which is basically like a custard made with egg yolks and sugar.
You want to try my mama...
Your method.
You know, method is like... Dip your canola inside the cappuccino and the zabaione.
That's Massimo style. I love it.
Wow.
I will try it. That's amazing. Oh my God. I've never had a cappuccino with zabaione in it. Now we're going to head back to Osteria Francescana. We'll finally get to go inside the restaurant and have a little look around there. So we've just arrived at the restaurant and Lara Gilmore is standing here waiting for us. Hi, Lara. How are you?
Hi, Amico. How are you?
Good.
It's so good to see you finally in Modena. My name is Lara Gilmore. I met Massimo in 1993 in New York. And somehow between talking about tortellini, tigelle, parmigiano, cecco balsamico, and this beautiful, colorful town, he convinced me to come over and I basically never left.
So let's open the door. And here we go, all our... Okay. You see, all the guys are here waiting for us. It's very important.
You can't know Italian food and not have heard of this restaurant. It is here where dishes have been made that are now household names. Dishes that 30 years ago, when Osteria Francescana opened, were grossly misunderstood by critics. The Italians didn't understand what Massimo was trying to do. Things like the crispy part of the lasagna, the oops, I dropped the lemon tart, or maybe you've heard of the five ages of parmigiano. These are dishes that made culinary history, and it all happened right here.
This is the entrance of Osteria Francescana. It's very cozy, small, and one of the things that you notice immediately is that art is everywhere. Because art is our landscape of ideas. And so most of the time, the artist and the piece of art are the inspiration. And we steal the ideas. You know, a painting like this, that is a masterpiece by Mario Schifano, called Globale, into a tasting menu, the brand new tasting menu in Osteria Francescana.
So we're looking at this painting that is essentially almost like a map of the world with many incredible colors swirling.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's no more border, there's no more continents, there's no walls. You know, you move from a spaghetti in Bangkok to a beautiful grouper in Seoul to move to a vegan, mole. This is our ideas, inspiration, identities, and culture blend into our cuisine. That's how we work and how our mind works. The center of everything is creativity.
Our guests are now lining up outside waiting. We have our 12:30 that we open the door. The kitchen is prepping. There's a kind of silence. You know, of course, you hear the knives and the chopping and the water is boiling and things are happening, but in a much more meditative way than when real service is going on.
It's almost like an orchestra, no? At the beginning of before a performance,
and yes, there's that kind of quiet. That's such a good metaphor. Before,
yeah,
you know, you might hear like one string going across, and the sounds. You start hearing the doorbell. There is a magic to a place that exists, but is animated two times during the day. So it's a bit of an accordion. It opens and closes and opens and closes. And it's full of so much generosity, this restaurant. What they're getting ready for is to give.
Guests are arriving. We're going to go sneak around the back and go into the wine cellar.
We're going to walk through the kitchen first.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so walk you through the kitchen and then into the wine cellar. We're going to have a quiet conversation.
Perfect.
Steps. Buongiorno.
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 Let me just remind you that this is the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service. I'm Emiko Davies, and in this episode, we're with Italian chef Massimo Bottura.
He would appear in the dark.
He hunted at night, terrorizing his victims.
He was a killer.
He killed so many, he lost count.
The whole scale of it is just, it's mesmerizing.
But he's no longer behind bars. He's free. And now, he's ready to talk.
I'm not that monster that the people say I am.
World of Secrets, from the BBC World Service. Season 3, The Apartheid Killer. Search for World of Secrets wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
So we've just arrived in the kitchen of Osteria Francescana, and it is just before service, so everybody's very busy, and we're going to take a little walk around with Alan.
Usually it's a little bit more louder because usually we put on music, but since you guys are here, they take it off the music. They don't want to interrupt you guys.
I'm Alan. I'm one of the sous chefs here at Francescana. I take care of the kitchen with another sous chef whose name is Matteo Zonarelli. I come from Canada and I've been here for 8 years. This is our main service kitchen, and it's broken up into stations in the more traditional Italian sense.
These guys are in primi now. So they take care of all the pasta dishes, and they also take care of one of the hot dishes.
There's a framework that we work in when it comes to the menu development. What we'd usually start doing is by the year's end, we start thinking about what would be the new theme. And Massimo kind of posits it to the entire kitchen. And then we start working on a few ideas or things that are inspiring us at the moment. And then we go from there. It's very organic, actually.
They have let me loose in the kitchen. Let's go and have a look at what's going on. Can I interrupt for a second and ask what you're doing? And your name, what's your name?
Manuel, nice to meet you. Right now I'm seasoning the squid for the ceviche with just a bit of coriander seed oil and a bit of salt.
Wonderful. And then next up, this is an incredible tray of, like, it actually looks like stained glass.
Yeah, we marinated the melon in the hibiscus juice, and now we're just preparing it for service so we can put it quick on the plate, you know, everything we can do in advance. Yeah.
Thank you. Alan, can you tell me a little bit about your background?
I actually have an arts background. I did university in Toronto for 5 years, and I studied sculpture and installation. I really didn't really understand what I wanted in life, but I wanted to do something with my hands, and also having a somewhat of an in-depth look into things in a way that was important to me. As an artist, I was working on familial memory and memories. What isn't familial memories and memories if not food, right?
Food is, yeah, that is exactly what food is. The smells and flavors, those are our most important link to memory.
It's visceral.
It is,
yeah.
Why is food your medium of choice?
I always had in mind that the kitchen was my safety place. I was a troublemaker, I know it. But I was my safety place. It was always the table in the kitchen, under the table, when the flour fell on my nose making tortellini and stealing the raw tortellini from under the table.
That's a very special thing. My daughters do that.
Yeah, I do. I did that all the time. Yeah, I did that all the time. And probably that's why I became a chef.
I heard you have this traditional thing that you say when service is ready. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, like, it's like, you know, in French kitchens say we chef, or they have their own chef. We have our Italian chef, which is what we do in the kitchen here, which is marcia. Go,
march,
move,
yeah, like
fire,
moving.
You know?
Okay.
Like, boom, go, you know, you need to run. When you yell it, they actually respond. Actually, I want to see if they're going to yell it.
Ragazzi!
Marcia!
Marcia!
There you go, see?
Amazing. We are in the wine cellar, which is wonderfully hidden away behind the kitchen. It's a beautiful room filled with wooden shelves and has vaulted ceilings, incredibly atmospheric. We're going to have a bit of a taste of the Globale menu.
Create a tasting menu is like an opera. And I grew up with my mom. She was teaching me how to listen to opera. And she was telling me that, you know, the adagio after the overture is a very important moment. If you listen very carefully, you know, you can understand the whole opera through the adagio. It's exactly the same way when you taste. You are sitting here, you are like, start tasting the overture, then you have the adagio. At this point, you move up with the flavors and you get the allegro, then the minuetto, then the grand finale. This is the overture. We're gonna start from left to right. It's the first step into a journey. Borscht flavor, so red beet, creme fraiche. When you taste something, it's a very, very important exercise. The second one is a club sandwich. It's a concentration of all the flavors from the club sandwich. I have to be by myself. I have to reinterpret. This is my expression. Third one is like the crunchy part of the lasagna. It's the best part of the paella. So, you but at the end, when you have to make a decision of what kind of dishes you cut, the sequence is your palate that is telling you what to do. This is like bread and tomato. Very humble. But bread is gold in the right hand. One of the most important moments is next one. The calamari from the Adriatic Sea. That's the adagio. Very mild, very relaxed, but very intense in the meaning. Up one step at a time. The classic spaghetti, tomato, mozzarella and basil. But when you taste it, you are in the middle of the market in Bangkok. You breathe because you incorporate oxygen, as the Japanese does. And getting higher and higher, you now travel to India. A beautiful sauce
inspired by the spicy for tandoori in the hotel where we usually go till the top point of the minuetto, that is the mole. Mexican inspiration, but it's a vegan southern of Italy mole. Revolution originates from a doubt that there could be a better solution. You know, you walk into the kitchen and you ask yourself question. The answer to this question are my dishes.
I'm kind of speechless at the moment. It's day two. It's a really beautiful morning in Modena this morning. Today, I'm going to go and meet Lara to drive to Casa Maria Luigia, where we're going to sort of get into Massimo's head a little bit.
So Casa Maria Luigia is a property that we bought in 2017, and it is a country house that was a working farm at one time. And so we just started imagining this property could become kind of a new umbrella for all of the things that we do and the things that we love and our passions. It could become a place where we put our paintings and our collection of cars and motorcycles, and also house all the vinyl records that don't fit in my house anymore.
Ciao, ciao, scusami, ciao, Greta.
Lara's brought us to what she calls the art barn, what they also call the playground. I could see why they needed a barn to house these artworks, because so many of them are extremely large. It's like walking into you're walking into a sort of a New York style art gallery, but there's a Ferrari parked in there as well.
This is the Ai Weiwei piece that Massimo was talking about, which is based on photographs of a performance that he did in New York back in the late 80s. And the performance was taking a very old antique vase from the Hun Dynasty and purposely dropping it on the floor. It's about breaking with the past. It's about breaking traditions and not being afraid, because to bring the past into the future, sometimes you have to break it and then put it back together again. The last frame where there are those pieces on the floor and Ai Weiwei still has his hands up in the air like, what are we going to do with this now, is the most interesting one, and that's where you have the crunchy part of the lasagna. I'm not going to serve the whole lasagna. I'm just going to take the emotional part, because maybe for me, Massimo Bottura, chef, boy who grew up in Emilia, that's the most interesting part.
We're sitting in a beautiful courtyard in Casa Maria Luigia, and we're going to have a little chat with Massimo and hopefully also taste some new dishes that are being developed in the restaurant here. What is it that you're working on right now that you can't sort of stop thinking about?
Right now. Because yeah. Right now, I was like moving paintings around, moving Desdemona, the big red rose by Robert Longo. You know, Desdemona, the lady that in the 17th century Venetian, she was like, I don't care about my family. I love this man against everyone. Both of them, for their love, they die. That's Desdemona, so powerful. I was telling Jessica, our chef here, Jess, do you see all these beautiful roses? And here is Desdemona. So we have to do something with all these rose petals. Think about Middle Eastern. Think about Turkey. Think about, you know, the smell of the roses in the Kashba in Istanbul. So I probably serve caviar as a dessert in a rose shape and rose water. We don't know. Jess! Bring, I want to taste. She's coming with the new dish. This is the pineapple macaroni.
My name is Jessica Roswell. I'm the chef of Casa Maria Luigia, running the kitchens on the property, and creating... Questa è una pasta fredda, Massimo, comunque. Che so già che sono troppo al dente. And so just getting some feedback from Massimo before I continue to develop an idea. the idea of making a pasta as a dessert. The climates have changed.
It's very good. It's very good.
The climates have changed in Italy a lot, so now we have pineapple coming from the south.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Oh. Lara, l'hai sentita?
No, what is this?
No, vieni qua. No, but spaghetti come dessert con pineapple.
It is really, really delicious.
It's delicious.
I mean, I could smell it even when you were bringing the dish
over.
I think
we should just call it cold
spaghetti.
No, but people will be like, what?
This is very like last minute thing that I thought about.
Posso dirti una cosa? Un po' meno dolce.
I can put up the lemon and bergamot, and I can pull down the great pineapple.
Massimo just said it a little bit less sweet was the feedback just now.
Because I don't like the desserts that are too sweet, but chewing, when I have the capers, those are the touch of savoriness that match with the sweetness on the pineapple and the pepperoni kruski. A surprise, eh? Vedi che? She's very surprised.
He read it before and he said, no.
Ma yeah, but because I didn't want, I thought about pizza and pineapple.
That's the point. I want to stir the pot. Well, people are already still too busy talking about pineapple and pizza. Let's start talking about pineapple and pasta, no?
Fammi sentire, fai.
Why not?
This is very provocatory. Imagine to serve this in Modena, in Italy. You know, it's like, first of all, cold spaghetti, then al dente, then pepperoni kruski, then capers, then as a dessert. With pineapple. Whoa, this is crazy. This is one of the things that I'm most proud of, is I'm giving the freedom of express himself to all my chefs, without forget where they come from. Our job, it's all about hard work, every day. When you roll the pasta better than your grandmother, when you use the acidity better than a Peruvian chef, when you make the sauce exactly as the best associé in France, you put everything together, at that point you can break the rules. This is creativity, you know?
It's really hard to grasp how Massimo Bottura's mind works, because it seems to be going a million miles an hour, seems to be propelled into the future. He thinks completely outside of the square. You've been listening to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service, which was presented by me, Emiko Davies, and produced by Jude Shapiro. It was a Peanut and Crumb production.
He would appear in the dark.
He hunted at night, terrorizing his victims.
He was a killer.
He killed so many, he lost count.
The whole scale of it is just, it's mesmerizing.
But he's no longer behind bars. He's free. And now he's ready to talk.
I'm not that monster that the people say I am.
World of Secrets from the BBC World Service, Season 3, The Apartheid Killer. Search for World of Secrets wherever you get your BBC podcasts.